for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Zexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, June the 29th, 1979, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Grounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. This is Glenn and Irma Miller speaking on the vision of the campground and Brother Williams ministering.
But Irma and I are going to visit with you here for a little while. Every year, or every convention, there's always several who ask about how come we got here and tell us about it. How many here have never heard how we got here to Arkansas? Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. I didn't know there was that many that hadn't been here and heard us or had gotten the Arkansas story and listened to it. Well, we've got all this on a tape, so we're not going to be as long-winded as the tape is. And if you want to hear some more of it later, why, we have a tape that we give almost everybody who has crossed the country who sends in a donation or help for the campground. Why, we have tried to send them that tape. Maybe we haven't always gotten it done. We've tried to, so we just kind of thought everybody kind of knew about it, but evidently we're wrong. Well, let me give you this, and then you're not going to have to worry about sticking your face in the microphone, okay? I guess that'll work all right. We got here kind of by unusual circumstances, and I guess that's the way most people... Yeah, pull that lavalier down just a little bit. One at the right side and one on the right side. That should take care of it. Thank you, Bob. We'll get a little more while I let you be technician over there. I really don't know where to start. I'll let Irma talk to you here a second and see how to begin telling you about this.
Well, I think it was in 1967 Glenn started telling me about this vision he kept having. The crux of it was that we were going to have to leave California because he knew the vision that he was seeing, the land that he was seeing, did not exist in California. And, of course, I liked California, Southern California. We lived in the San Fernando Valley and were affluent and happy. And everything was going real good for us. So he started telling me all about this, and I really got kind of sick and tired of hearing about that vision. This is ringing back in my... it went on for... It would go down. You know, you wouldn't say anything about the while, and he'd come right back with it again. And just couldn't, you know, seem to give it up. So we looked in Oregon because it had to be this certain shade of green. And Oregon has the same shade of green almost as Arkansas, so he thought that he was seeing Oregon. We looked all over Oregon and Idaho and Washington and I don't know, just ran around spinning our wheels, you know, looking for this property with the water running down through the middle of it and clear, had to be clear stream, couldn't be muddy water, and so had to be everything just so he wouldn't go for it, you know. So I was always happy when we never found anything. For many years, we had been in the aerospace industry. And at one time, we owned our own business. It was called a Technical Typing Institute and Technical Publication Services. And we had both been supervision in Lockheed, and he had been at Manasco where they build the landing gear, assistant to the vice president, and I had been over the technical typist and artist and so on. So then Lockheed moved to Northern California and
the missile division
that I worked in, and they wanted us to move, but Glenn didn't want to give up his job, so I just gave up my job and worked at a bank for a little while. Well, actually worked in aerospace with the money flying around, you know, nobody paying attention about pencils or anything, and going to a bank, they were very conservative, and I worked there for a little while. I was secretary to the president, and one day a colored man came in to open a new account, and he told me it was with RCA, and they were moving to the San Fernando Valley, and I said, oh, do they have any openings for technical typists? And he said, oh, sure, we really need them bad. And I turned in, I said, bring me an application next Friday when you come in as a test. And they did, and I ended up becoming a department manager there. And from there, then, we opened this business. And first, I used to teach technical typing. A German scientist had taught me. I was always a good typist and secretary, but I did not know how to type in Greek and all the mathematical things that engineers can figure out and the physicists can come up with. That is absolutely, the equations are something else that they do. So anyway, from that,
Didn't you work for Von Braun?
No. I worked for
Nogareff.
Dr. Rogan. German scientist that the United States had captured from Germany.
No, well, they really hadn't captured him. They had smuggled him out. They had sent a paratroopers in and gotten him and smuggled him out. That's how they got him.
Well, anyway.
He defected.
I was very happy in that business, and we really worked hard. That's where we learned to put aside all feelings of your body. When there's a job to get out, you either have to do it or else get out of the business. So it was always all night for the next day. When the next day come at 8 o'clock, you started in again, as if you hadn't worked all night. Then you worked all that day, and then you worked all night. We always got these big, heavy loads. Sometimes after midnight, they had to be done by 8 o'clock in the morning. So I am glad for those days, because we learned, we could have never stood here, the hard work that we've had to do here, had we not already had our bodies under subjection. And I'm really thankful for all the experiences we have had over the years and the jobs that we have done. And there is one thing, God calls many people, and then he chooses them, but it's only the faithful that can move on up in the Holy of Holies. And that's where I want to go. But in our work as workers, we were always faithful to the companies we worked for and very conscientious in our work. And, you know, there are some people, especially in a publication division like we worked in, they would choose about 300 people to work on a new contract. And they would lock us all up in a big brick building somewhere. And it was this concentrated work of maybe 25,000 pages that had to be done maybe in 7 or 8 weeks. And type it 3 times and get it printed and get it off to the Pentagon and so on. And it was always a deadline and always a rush. And I am glad that the Lord endowed us with talent to appreciate good our bosses and to work for them as if it were our own business. We've always worked like that. And I appreciate the Lord in putting that and endowing that in our hearts. So when we finally did come here, I said I wouldn't, but I did. I just did not want to leave Southern California, and I really fought it. And even after we found the property, I still did not want to move, and we didn't move for 2 years after we bought this property. Because it was just a lot to give up. In fact, it was everything. It was giving up houses and land, family and friends, children, you know, everything. And it was a long time after we arrived here that I happened to see that scripture, that those who give up houses and lands and family and so on will enter into the 100-fold, and that really made me happy. Because I really want to enter into that. I really want to go all the way with Jesus, wherever he leads us. So we moved here, and it wasn't easy at all. Every time we turned, the devil was fighting us. I mean, in every way that you can't even believe. We were telling Chuck Flynn about some different things, And he was holding his head as if he was getting an extraordinary headache. And he said, you should write all this in a book because people wouldn't even believe it. He says, this is really something else. Yeah, you grow things. How the devil would just... But then the Lord always brought us through. The Lord always vindicates you. You know, they can say all manner of evil against you, but the Lord will protect you if you lean on him. You know, if you let him guide your life and keep you in the hollow of his hand, he will bring you through. And he has literally brought us through. Now, you see, I would have wanted to come if I had known all you people were going to be here. See, I didn't know that. I didn't know that when we moved here 5 years ago. I didn't know where I was coming to. And I didn't realize all you wonderful people were going to be in here, and I didn't know what the Lord really had in store, and I don't think we even had begun yet to know. And I'm just waiting breathlessly to see, really, what the Lord is going to do in the next 2 days here. I've been expecting it. I've been expecting so many different things, and the Lord has just met us. There are innumerable people that have been delivered. There are innumerable people that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and dozens of people have been born again. Every youth and child in that youth meeting yesterday, if they weren't born again, they were before they come out of there. And today, Bob and I were praying with, I think, only two children in that whole group didn't have the Holy Spirit. And they came, they're on the fringes, you know. They have stammering lips, and I know they were just going to come on through. And the little children who have been delivered, don't you wish all of you would have known about this when you were little? Wouldn't that have been something? I've often said, oh, I wish I'd have only known. And I am a Pentecostal Assembly of God ministry's daughter, and I should have known a lot more than I know. But you know what? We didn't have to pray because my mother and daddy prayed for us. We didn't have to pray. They always prayed, and I went through the depression with them and through a lot of persecution. Now, if all the things that's been going on here in this meeting would have been in the early 30s, there would have been more people outside of this building looking in than there is in here, because that's the way it was in all of the towns, of the small towns. They would all come out to see what the Holy Rollers were doing. And really, they were getting delivered, but we didn't call it that in those days. They called praying them through. And they prayed them through down at the altar if it took all night, you know. But it was a way of life with us to pray our food on the table. And I am glad for that heritage. Because many a time we would sit down at the table and there would be hardly any food. My folks would pray. My brother and I would just watch them, you know, sit there. We just believed. You know, if you just believe with the person who's praying, things are going to happen. But if you don't believe, you are hindering the people that are praying. So try to always be in a spirit of apprehension, of believing, you know, of expectancy. But many a time, the doorbell would ring or they would knock, and it would be people bringing in food for us when we had hardly no food. That was a way of life. The other night, I really had to laugh. I think it was last week before the meeting started, probably about Wednesday. You know, most of these boys who work here eat up at our house. And this particular night, I was just sitting there. We were about finished. And I said, well, if we have any dessert tonight, I don't know about it. And about that time, somebody knocked at the back door, and in walked a lady with three pies. I think it made believe it was out of those boys. Praise the Lord. Well, anyway, in 1964 and 65, God began to deal mightily in our lives in a very strange way and in a very hard way. We left the Assembly of God Church where Brother Bunch, he's here tonight, isn't he?
We overworked him this afternoon.
Brother Bunch is now the pastor and has been for 10 years, but we left that church and... one of the main problems of why we left, why we were asked to leave, is because we went to Full Gospel Businessmen's meetings and we saw some deliverance services, and we went back and began to tell the people what we had seen, and the deacons and many of the members did not want to hear anything about the devil. They would call us in the middle of the night. If you like those four gospel business people so much, why don't you go over there with them and stop coming over here telling everybody about what the meetings are going to. So, anyway, we left the church, and we thought if you weren't in Sunday school, if you weren't at Wednesday night meetings, if you didn't go to young people's meetings, if you didn't go to the women's missionary meetings, you didn't go on Sunday night, you were totally backslid. So I remember after we came out of church, we'd sit there and look at ourselves on Sunday and wonder if we were backsliding or what was wrong. And in those days, there weren't too many people coming out of churches like they are now. It's pretty normal, you know, for people to come out of churches. And God was dealing mightily in our lives, and he showed us many things that Brother Bunch has been speaking about, and Brother Ellenwood.
And
Chuck. All the ministries. He started showing us these things. We didn't know whether to believe them or not, but we never disbelieved. We just kind of waited. I was thinking this afternoon when Brother Bunch was speaking, I'm sure glad he's bringing this out, that we don't have to. Much easier if somebody else gets up and says it, and then you follow sort of on, you know. But if you get up and bring all these truths that the Lord has showed you, sometimes it's too soon or something, and you know, your thought's terrible until you just are squelched and you just don't say anything anymore. And I just was saying, thank you, Lord, for all these men. I really praise the Lord for the ministries that have been here this time. The prayers that have gone up in this place and out in the magazine readers has really been answered by the Lord, because we have prayed and prayed, Lord, let there be unity among the ministries. Let there be peace among the ministries. Let there be truth flowing out from the ministries. And we really have seen it. We really have seen it. And all of you have been helped because of that, because of Jesus and the lives of these ministers. All of this has not come. You don't give anything on a silver platter, really. Yet the Lord has given us a table full of meat. That I just was saying to Glenn, we're going to New Orleans Tuesday to the Full Gospel World Convention. And by the way, we were with the Full Gospel for about 13 years doing the tapes and books. And I would not have given up that strategic place in the lobby of those conventions for any Captain Truman or Demon Shakarian down on the platform, because I was in a strategic spot where I could meet everybody who came in. And the Lord has given us, well, a lot of you are the product of having met us at those meetings. And the Lanhams and the people back there from Illinois and Indiana and Inez, back there, the real estate lady who actually sold us the property. Emily, who used to come and help us at conventions, and we met Emily there. And, innumerable amount of people. I guess we met Mrs. Fife and in St. Louis. And God has just given us, and we met the Badgetts in Nashville, Tennessee, I think. They knew us, but a lot of people I remember seeing, but I didn't exactly know who they were. And many times people write us letters and tell me, I met you here, I met you there. And I try to figure it out, but when they come then, it's always a joy for us to get to meet you. We know you by your letters. And by the way, we appreciate your letters. You know, we camp here every week. And so remember us and write us letters. Write and tell us what the Lord is teaching you. And I'll tell you one thing. As a matter of wisdom, there are many things that have gone on here this week that don't cast your pearls. You know, be careful who you tell things to, because you can get your head whacked up. Literally, I mean it. But just let the Lord lead you, and let the Lord guide you. And my parents lived here for over 2 years, and they are wonderful people. They were wonderful people, but they were of the old school. My dad's still a minister, 81 years old now, but still preaching, pulling a house trailer around behind his car. And my mother has passed away, but they did not want us. They wanted us to have an Assembly of God church here, and they did not want us to have a deliverance center. They always said, there's nothing wrong with you, Irma, and don't get involved with all this. But you see, when you're called for a certain thing, you have to carry it out. Otherwise, it's all in vain. And one day they came up and knocked on our door after we'd been here about 4 or 5 months. And it was Brother Williams' first trip here. And we had had a meeting up in our living room. And a tremendous amount of people were healed and set free. Next morning, we get a knock on my back door. And they always just walked right in. But this day, it was a very authoritative knock. It was my parents. And they said, now you're going to have to stop all this. We don't want you casting these demons out and letting them walk around on this campground now. Now we're just not going to have it here. Well, frankly, they hadn't put one dime in here of their money. And so I just sort of dropped my mouth open, so to speak. And they said, now we don't want you to do this anymore. I said, well, this is the only reason we came here. And I was just flabbergasted. I said, why did we even come? I didn't come here to start an Assembly of God Church. They got 5 or 6 or 7 in this town anyway. I said, I can't understand it. I wouldn't have come all this way from California and sacrificed all this if we weren't going to follow our calling. And so they said, well, if you are going to keep on doing this, then we're going to move away. And they walked right out of the house. I said, okay. And they walked out of the house, went and bought a house down here 60 miles.
That same day?
Right away. Before noon, they were back in town and said, we're going to move. So I had to give them up, you know. And it's been hard, but it's been wonderful. And the Lord is going to reward us, and all of you. And just, it melts my heart when I see the Lanhams and Kevin and all of you people, how you've grown since we first met you. How you've grown in the Lord. The Holy Spirit, right now, every one of you are in much better shape spiritually than when you come last week. And I often say to Glenn, there are many churches that this much hasn't happened to them in 20 years as the Lord has done here. And I appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. When Bob was singing a while ago and the glory of the Lord was filling this place, I really appreciate the glory of the Lord. I really appreciate all of you who pray for us. You don't know what a wonderful blessing it is for me to be sitting upstairs at that desk. And I'll tell you, if you think the devil don't fight you, you just try to write a magazine. Oh, you know, I died 49 deaths when I'm putting that together, trying to say all the right things that the Lord wants me to say and then not be offensive to people, and it's kind of a big chore. And I suppose we must have probably, I don't know, in excess, I know, of counting husbands and wives, of 50, 60, maybe 75,000 people reading that. So it is no easy task to write that.
Not only that, but most people aren't aware that almost every major Christian leader in America reads that paper. We know because we get letters from them. Oral Roberts orders from our catalog. The Nazarene organization in Kansas City orders from our catalog.
Billy Graham
orders from it.
They're ordering these tapes. Brother Bunch is the biggest surprise and shock to me that he would even bother to read it. And he's been reading it for years, he tells us, and we didn't know it.
But then we also know because that others are reading it, because we've had in the last 3 months, we've had several very prominent ones in the nation call us. And, well, some of them have spent as long as an hour on the phone with Irma, long distance in the middle of the day, berating us because of our stand on deliverance and so forth. And, in fact, one very well-known charismatic organization threatened to file a lawsuit against us and sue us for the simple fact that nothing said about them or against them or anything else. Not a thing. Just the stand that we have taken on the end time and deliverance. So we're just happily praising the Lord.
Bless them.
Bless them, Lord. But you see, all of these major organizations in the country get a hold of our magazine and read it.
I don't know.
So they're not ignorant. They're not ignorant of the things of the Lord.
I don't know if you realized it the other day, but sitting right over here when that fairly wild deliverance service was going on in the afternoon and for the evening, one of the head men of Broadman Press, the Baptist publishing house in Nashville, Tennessee, and his wife were here. I can't remember exactly the circumstances, but I think there was some problem with one of their sons or grandsons, and I put him on the mailing list. He kind of opened up to me one day when he was in the store, a good 4 years ago, I suppose, and I didn't even remember, really, that I had put him on the mailing list. But his wife had picked this up and became very interested in this place. And when she planned so his trip to this area to sell would come at this time so they could come here and check this out. And they thought it was wonderful. And I saw him toward the end of the meeting when Bob or somebody was leaving the praise right at the end. He was standing over there with his hands up. Now that, to me, is a miracle. That is a real miracle. And the Lord is moving by His Spirit. A lot of people say, oh, the Lord's not doing anything. He's not moving. It's really, the country's going bad and everything. No. No, the Lord is moving in people that are under the rocks that we know nothing about right in this town. God is speaking to His people. And there are a lot of Pentecostal people in this town. And it's not just here. It is all over. God is moving by His Spirit across this land. And it's not all the mighty meetings. It's not all the big powerful meetings. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the Spirit of the Lord. He says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And that is what we are most interested in here, that we will be able to minister by the Spirit. And I don't want to say any more because we want Brother Joe to get on. He's been our dear friend. And if you are sick tonight, now start just tuning in and believing that the Lord is going to heal you tonight. I don't know what his message is, but the Lord healed my father when he prayed for him about 1967, somewhere in there, of a bad heart attack. My dad had not been able to preach for 10 years. When he would try to preach, he'd lose all his oxygen and he couldn't breathe. And Brother Williams went to northern Missouri, near Quincy, Illinois, where my parents lived, and knocked on the door and said, I've come to pray for you. The Lord is going to heal you. My mother had arthritis. And he prayed for my dad. He told my dad he had a very small little spirit hanging on to the valves, and when he would begin to preach, the devil doesn't want you to preach, he would press down on the valves and wouldn't let him have any air, and then he would have to sit down. And my dad was instantly healed when that thing was cast off. See, our bodies are made to redo themselves. But when the splinter comes out, then your hand gets well. See, when the enemy comes out, your body gets well. That's the principle. And the Lord did mighty works through my parents in Missouri long before we ever moved here. And why they ever changed, isn't that strange? Now the pendulum is swinging the other way. My dad has been very good to us and very generous. He bought me that car last year, and he buys me clothes and things that we can't afford. And I praise the Lord for my parents. You know, for the heritage they gave me over the years. The prayer and the strength. And I know that the Lord is going to bring us all through. He's going to bring us all through. We go through many things to get shaped up. And I'm telling you, if I had not studied on the seven spirits of God years ago and saw that the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and I said one day, Lord, let me have the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And then a little later, you know, you put one thing on the other, you build. A little later, I saw the scripture, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And I have come to really hate evil. And to call it what it is, you can't compromise. You have to call it what it is. And sin is a terrible thing in our hearts. And we can get rid of it through the blood of Jesus and through confession. And we need to repent. We're behind on our repenting, all of us. Every one of us, on things that we don't even think about that are sin, that's the way of life with us. But if you ask the Holy Spirit to show you. The sin in your life, the Lord's going to show you. The Holy Spirit's going to turn that light on you. You're going to say, oh, me. But then you know what to do. Begin to repent. And the Lord is always there. He's our best friend, isn't he?
With Irma's parents, see, that was a trial that the Lord put her through to see if she was going to be faithful. And our coming here, the vision the Lord gave me, and then along with the vision, there were many, many prophecies. Chuck Friends prophesied to us before we ever moved here. Dick Mills prophesied to us, gave us scriptures several times. Copeland prophesied to me and told me what this place would become before he ever knew a thing about it. Kenneth Copeland came one day, and I met him in Texarkana, he and his wife, Gloria. And I met him there, and we took his airplane, and we flew all over this area looking for this piece of property. And others have helped look for it. And the Spirit of the Lord has led and guided us to this place. And we didn't come here just because I had a vision or a whim, but we came here because it was verified by the word of the Lord through many, many prophets of the Lord that the Lord has raised up. Gary Prince prophesied to us one time when he was in our house. He said, you'll be moving to the Middle West before long. That was all he said. He made that statement and shut up, and then that was it when he was staying at our house one time. Brother Duncan, one time, before there was ever any such place as this, he prophesied to me that the Lord was going to move us to a place where we could sit under the myrtle tree. Well, that was one reason why I spent so much time up in the northwest part of the United States, because that was the only place I knew where there was a myrtle tree, the northwestern United States. And then one day, after we had come here, Irma and I and Brother William drove in here from California or somewhere. And as we drove in, the trees up on the hill here were all in beautiful bloom. And Brother William says, oh, look at the myrtle trees. I said, where's the myrtle tree? He said, there. And there was the fulfillment, because I felt that prophecy couldn't be fulfilled here, see? And it made me wonder sometimes, was this the wrong place? But then here Brother William pointed out the myrtle trees in full bloom. So that prophecy came to pass. And all the prophecies that God has given are coming to pass. But God showed me that he needed a place where he could raise up a deliverance ministry. There was a ministry that we traveled with quite a bit. And God showed that person that they should raise up a place where people could be taught the deliverance ministry. And that person has gotten far from it. He's a very well-known man. He's gotten far from it. And if he ever does that, I will be a surprise. Maybe the Lord will bring him back to it. But he's gotten into all kinds of other things except what the Lord told him to do. And in so doing, he's caused a lot of heartache in a lot of churches and people across the nation. But the Lord is straightening all these things out and changing things and bringing things back and restoring. But God showed me that there needs to be a place for deliverance. He laid on my heart that that's what this place was to be. A place where deliverance would be taught and people would be helped. And that's our purpose for being here, is to have a place where people can come for prayer and help, and we can bring ministers in who will teach the end time message with the deliverance message with it. Now you can't, when you teach, you can't just be on one subject, because then you get way off in left field and you get into darkness and error. But you have to have the rounded, full measure of the Lord. And that's what we believe we're having here with the different ministries that come and minister. Some joy and a blessing of the Lord. But in the middle of it all, our purpose is to teach the end time message with deliverance. To get rid of the spots and the wrinkles so that we can move into that hundredfold company. The Eagle Group, the Sons of God, whatever you want to call it, go through the veil by getting ourselves cleaned up without spot and wrinkle, and helping those who have problems, who don't know how to get rid of them, Christians, who have situations in their lives that under no circumstances have they been able to shake them, get rid of them? Well, the answer is in deliverance. And God is deliverance. Praise the name of the Lord. Well?
Oh, I wanted to tell them that last year the Lord began to deal with us to have classes somewhat like we used to have when we had the Typing Institute, where we brought in top secretaries, top people, level people, and we taught them. And I believe that there are many of you sitting out there that want to help deliver the people in your city, but you don't know exactly how to get started. And I think if you come here maybe for 1 week of concentrated classes where there was fewer people, where everybody would have a chance to get prayed for, understand more, and then they could go back and pray for the people in their city. People are so hungry. Somebody called from Salem, Oregon, wanting to bring somebody here, and we routed them to a man in Portland. And we cannot handle the number of people that want help. It's impossible to handle all of them. So that's why we want to get this building done. God is gradually shaped up, and we were not prepared to do that the first year we came. Not at all. But God has been teaching us. And all of you have been learning and wanting to be taught. And we believe by possibly next spring we can have our first institute where we can have maybe 1 week of concentrated teaching on deliverance. And no one would be allowed to come unless they themselves wanted to be delivered completely, because you can't really understand it until you have had deliverance and you know, you learn by experience. Then nobody can talk you out of it. If you learn by theory, that is wonderful. But you can be backed down because you can't say, I experienced it and I know because I went through it. And so we believe. And last night, the Lord confirmed it. There was over $6,000 in pledges came in from this sheet on the commitment sheet of the dormitory edition. And for all of you who weren't here last night, we want the ushers to pass out the sheet. It gives, now the electrical is already taken up. Somebody has already got to pay for the electrical. And you can buy three blocks.
There's some up
with
here.
Steel for $20. And how many would really just like to own some blocks out there in that building that we're going to put up for a place that's going to be used for something? You see, we have to have, if we bring ministries in or people in, we have to have a place to really feed them so it's not so conglomerated back here. And places where they can stay right here. So if the prayer meeting begins at 8 and goes all night, they don't have to run back to a motel and back and forth, because that is kind of frustrating, to say the least. And we believe that the Lord has been leading us this way, and we have had people praying about it with us. And when it's time for it, you know, that building will be.
Well, there's been many prophecies come to us since we've been here that we should do this. And the building will be for the campground use, for camp meetings, and it'll also be for use for the institute that we have and bring in the speakers to teach, and a concentrated effort, and they'll be able to sleep 124 people in this building, have a dining hall, and have in rooms that will hold 6 people to the room as well. So a family can stay or a couple can stay and have places for the ministry there. But so we're working to that end now to get this building up and use it. There's many things that we could talk about. She could talk all night, and I could start up and talk all day, or vice versa. But what the Lord has done, how we got our nonprofit corporation here through the Spirit of the Lord, through prophecy at the Full Gospel Businessmen's Convention in Beaumont, Texas. A man walked up and prophesied Irma, told her where we'd find the attorney we needed, who he was, and the whole thing. We never saw the man before, haven't seen him since. How we then got the corporation. How Inez and I went and got the money for the bank from the bank here one day, She started to go one place, and the Lord checked her, and she went and called and found a man in his office that was supposed to have been gone home. Went down and talked to him for about 10 minutes at the most, and he gave us the money for the property, and that was it. And you, those things just don't happen unless God does them for you. And Inez has been a great blessing. If it hasn't for her, we wouldn't have found the right man for the loan. The Lord showed her husband this piece of property, but if we took time to tell you all that, it'd take us all night to tell you, and we've got other things to do tonight about that. But the Lord showed us that this place is a place where people can come and live also, those who are interested in being a part of the deliverance ministry. When you come here, Joe and Millie have come from California at Christmas time, and what a blessing they are. They get in and pray and work and move, and we give her things to pray over, and she takes them and prays over them, and it's a prayer warrior. Phone calls come in, and Maria and Irma get on the phone and pray, or if Merv and Kevin and the rest of us around, we pray and with them, and back up whoever's on the phone praying, we back them up in prayer, and the mail that comes in, and Irma hasn't had a chance to have it in here this Thursday, next Thursday we'll have a big stack of it to be prayed over. But people have written in with their needs. And I believe when we pray that God hears and answers our prayer. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't do it. But I believe it with all my heart. And so I just appreciate what the Lord has done and is doing for us here. And that the Spirit of the Lord is moving. And that He's bringing deliverance and victory to those who are looking for it. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I thank the Lord for it, and I thank all of you for it. Now, we are just about ready to start developing the other side. We've been waiting for some sewer lines to come in to keep us from having to put in a big plant. And those are coming. They're starting. They'll be in before long. For people who are interested in retiring here, if you do, we expect you to be part of the campground and a blessing to us, not a hindrance to us. We expect you to pray with us. We expect you to work with us. We expect you to seek deliverance yourself. We expect you to learn about deliverance so you can pray with people and that you can be a part of the work that's needed to do here, both physically and spiritually. And we were prophesied to quite a while ago. We've had many, many prophecies about this place. I'll tell you about another one right now quickly. We were prophesied to that this place, well, more than one place we've been prophesied. This place is a garrison. Now, I assume you know what a garrison is. But anyway, then we've been prophesied that many times that this is a garrison. Then we've also been prophesied too that we would have to stand guard here. That the day would come when we would stand guard. We would stand guard with a 24-hour prayer chain. And we would stand guard literally and walk the property line literally. The men would walk the property line and the women would pray. And that would go on 24 hours a day on this place. And God is preparing us for that. We're not hedging from it. We're not backing from it. We're preparing for that day because we have been warned that that day is going to come. So we're not putting our head under the bushel and in the sand and say it'll never happen, because the Lord has already warned us that it will happen. So we are looking to that day and preparing for that day. We expect the Spirit of the Lord to raise up a standard, and there will be more for us that's unseen than are against us. And but we'll do our part, because in the children of Israel, they fought with the sword sometimes, and sometimes the Lord fought for them with the sword. But He did the fighting. So we're not going to back down. We're going to be prepared to stand and take care of what the Lord has given us to be stewards over. So that's what's in the future for this place, as well as the present. It's a garrison, a place for the people of the Lord to stand in the hour of need, to bind their hearts together, and God will take care of us. Amen. We came here, and God is blessing us. He will continue to bless us, and we will grow here in the word and the blessing of the Lord, because we have put our heart and our soul and our spirit and are all into it. And we, and not only us, but many more with us have done the same thing. And when we put our hearts and our lives together to work for the Lord will bless us and honor us. And He will honor us with signs and wonders following and deliverance for His people, because that is what we need today, is the Spirit of the Lord to move on us to bring deliverance
by his word in the name of Jesus, and he'll set us free, and as we work together for him. Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Brother Williams, thank you, sir. Sorry that we have infringed on your time, but the Lord bless you.
I'll have to forgive you. Praise his name. Okay, now. Let's go to him. Then the 11 disciples, I'm reading Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. Some doubted, but Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority or all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And this same incident is recorded over in Mark 16, and I'll begin reading at the 15th verse. As you know that scripture so well, all of you, by memory, if you've been on the way any length of time. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be condemned or damned. And these signs shall follow them that who believe. In my name they shall cast out devils or demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This, he says, is what I want you to do. I've had to leave you, and I've finished the work that my Father sent me to do. And I have now been raised into the glories, as it were, raised up now with a glorified body. And I've sprinkled my blood on the mercy seat in heaven. And now, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Go, I've received all authority in heaven and in earth. Everything is finished. Everything is complete. Now you go do what I have showed you how to do. I've kept you with me now for 3 years, approximately. I've let you watch me work. I've let you watch my compassion. I've let you watch me show my love for suffering humanity. I've taught you. I have given you an example. And I want you to go and do what you've seen me do. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I place and trust with you the gospel. You go and preach it or tell it. And the gospel is this. It is good news. I want you to preach forgiveness of sins, where mankind can lose their guilt, pass into a state of purity again. I want you to cast out these evil things that infest them. I want you to lay hands on the sick, and I want you to heal them in my name. I want you to go and love the world as I've loved it. Carry on the work that you've seen me start. I'm going to empower you or equip you with the same power and the same anointing that I had. I'm not going to ask you to do something that I did without giving you the same material, the same power, and the same equipment that I had. I won't require you to do something that's impossible. I want you to go out and do the impossible. I want you to operate and work in the realm of the supernatural. I want you to show the world God. I want to show myself through you. I want you to project me. I want you to be my visible projection to the world. I want the world to see that God is real and that God loves and God cares. Only a small area of the world has the privilege of seeing me when I live and walk and work here. But I want you to go into all the world and show the world me. I want to so live in you, so embody you, and so operate through you that when they see you, they'll see me. This is my plan. This is my program. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you then shall be witnesses to me, for me. This is what I want you to do. Go into all the world. What a trust we have, and what we have in our hands, and what we have in our hearts, is something tremendous. It is powerful. It is a forceful thing. And it'll do the job. And if we'll turn it loose and let it work, it'll do what he said it would do. It would save men. It would drive out evil forces and entities that embody themselves and minds and bodies and souls. It'll set them free from the bondages of sin and death. Oh, there's so many people today with death curses upon them. Other people I pray for, I see their death spirits already entering, ready to cut the little thread of life and send them into eternity. The devil kills people today. Don't think he doesn't. And he kills saints, too, as if they'll let him do it. But realize today that there's somebody bigger than the devil that lives in you tonight. He that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. Let your faith rise tonight. Look at that man of Galilee. He's a giant tonight. And hear him shout, I received all authority. I received all power in heaven and in earth. And that same authority, that same power that I have, I'm going to transmit it to you. And you receive it by faith. Take off your coat, thank God, and go down the line. And go down the road and shout it. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all either you are able to think or reason. He is able according to the power that worketh in us. We have something working in us tonight. We have something living in us tonight. It's dynamite. And it'll work if we'll turn it loose. Oh, thank God, and this power is available to the least and to the greatest. It doesn't make any difference. Whosoever will may come. Come believing. Come with an open heart, with an open hand, and say, I come. Equip me, Lord. Anoint me. Let us stop looking for the psychiatrist and look for the anointing. Let's look for that that works today. Oh, I saw God do things today. If the individual had $10 million, they couldn't have bought it. But Jesus, Jesus the Christ, come and did it for them. And you would think, perhaps as I said today, you'd think the whole world would be the path to our door. Look at all the people with heart trouble tonight. And you rarely, rarely ever see one that's faithful that isn't completely, perfectly healed. Look at all the arthritics today, the sore joints. You rarely ever see one that's prayed for that isn't healed. Thank God forevermore. Look at all the diabetics we have. Look at all the cancer. Look at everything else. But Christ is greater, and he's so willing to flow through us tonight and meet the need of the world round about us. We've got the gospel, the good news. Thank God it works. I've often said, I don't care anything for your theory. I want something that works. I want to perfect something. I want to test it. I want to try it. And I want to know that it works. And praise God, it does work. You listen to people with all kinds of theories and maybe this and maybe that. Just go back to the simple gospel. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Let us tap into this power. May God put in all of our hearts that we want to be spiritual giants. Let's quit thinking little. Let's move up into a higher dimension, a realm. Say, I want to have power in my life. I want to be able to get my prayers answered. Listen, you should be able to have every prayer you prayed answered. That's God's plan and purpose. Get spiritual enough. Get in there to the place where the Holy Spirit will pray through you
And he won't let you pray only in the will of God. He won't pray outside the will of God. And if you're on receiving ground, you pray that prayer in the Holy Ghost. He knows the mind of God. And thank God, you should be on receiving ground or where that prayer is answered when you pray. You don't have to pray all day to use a half a dozen words sometimes that'll get the job done. If you are there where on receiving ground, just a half a dozen words perhaps will produce for you. And he'll say, as he said to me many times, that's enough. I've answered your prayer. Let's go on to something else. Don't spend too much time there. I'm busy running the universe, don't you know? No use playing around. Now, brother, pray. Get up, pray, brother. And he starts praying around the North 40 and down. Well, I don't know where. You say, Lord, set him down or shut him up or something. Let's get to the point. Glory to Jesus. There's built into every one of us a spiritual mechanism, and all you've got to do is turn the switch and get it working for you. The power is in us. He said it. He said it right there. According to the power that's in us, it's already there. You've got all the gifts and everything else there. You've got the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, discerning the spirit, knowledge, wisdom, everything. You've got everything. You've got the whole catalog right there inside of you right now. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you've got it all there. Thank God. Get yourself tuned up to where these things can operate through you. That's all that's necessary. And it'll work, too. Don't think it won't. Praise God. The whole world is reaching out its hands to it. Did you know that we are the only ones? The church. I'm talking about the church, not this little body here. Let's don't get in there and think we're the only ones. And we're the only people going to heaven. And we're the only ones going to be in that number or that number. Let's forget it. Let's be bigger than that. Let's realize that God loves the world. Thank God. And he's got people in Europe and China who are not. And then they've never heard of the last move or the next move or what move. All they know, there's a God in heaven that loves them. Praise God. They're his people. Glory to Jesus. Well, I don't know why I said that, but I said it anyway. But the whole world's reaching out its hands to us, and we have the gospel. We have that something that they need. And let's present it to them in such a tender and loving way that they'll want it. Let's tell them of his love. Let's ask God for wisdom. Don't try to push and demand and hound people and make yourself a nuisance. Let your heart be soaked and filled with his love and say, Lord, you guide me by your spirit and show me how to give to people this gospel that they need. Be patient with them, so in tears, so in prayer, and ask God to just work there and prepare their hearts. We have the bread they need. We have the oil. We have the answers. Thank God the answer's in him, isn't it? It's there, it's there, it's there. We've been entrusted with this gospel. This is a life above or beyond the normal. This is abnormal living. Abnormal living. It's above the normal. It's above the supernatural. Oh, it takes the supernatural to meet the supernatural. Don't think the other supernatural isn't here, because it is. And listen, thank God, he is able, let's quote again, he is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all we're able to ask of faith. He can do it for us, and he can do it for the world. And we need the supernatural in our life to meet the supernatural, the challenge of it. You know, the devil is a roaring lion, going around seeking whom he may devour, and he'll frighten you. Like Herman talked about the first time she heard the devil talk. She ran upstairs, jumped in the bed, took two aspirins, and threw the cover over her face. Well, I don't think she's very far along, do you? But she's come a long way since that time. And we're still on our way, praise the Lord. But it takes the supernatural to meet the supernatural. If you don't have something as big as the devil's got, he's going to run over you, stomp you on the ground, kick you around, twist your spine. You're going to squeal and cry, and you're going to run to the doctor, run to the clinic, and, well, run any place you can get any help. But first, let me say, run to Jesus. He's the best chiropractor. He's the best physician that there is.
We're in a kingdom of power. Do you realize that? Kingdom of heaven. We're in another kingdom. We're not in a world. We're not of the world. We're supernatural people living in a supernatural realm under the laws of a supernatural God, the kingdom of heaven. And we're his subjects, and we're there. Let us be true representatives of the kingdom that we represent. Truly represent him. Who are you representing? Well, I'm representing the Christ, the meek and lowly one. Well, then let's act like him. Let's talk like him. Let's love like him. Let's have faith like him. As the Father has sent me, so send I you, he said. You go and act and do the things that I've done. Oh, true representative of him. He represents greatness. Oh, how wonderful. He wants his power to pour through us. Let himself be seen to the world. He wants to make big people out of all of you. You know, God isn't altogether a God of littleness or smallness. He's a God of bigness. He's built and made a big, big world and a big universe. Nobody has seen the end out there yet with all the powerful telescopes and so on. It's got a great, great big world. And thank God we're part of it. And one day, we're going to help him run this whole business. We've got that promise, haven't we? We're going to rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. So he's preparing us for this rule and this reign. And he's equipping us now. So let's say, Lord, I want more, more, more. Just be real spiritual beggars. I want more, more, more. And then he'll put his finger on this thing, and let's get this out of the way so I can give you more. Get this out of the way so I can give you more. And so the work will go on. But let's have a big vision. Lord, I want to truly represent you. Praise God tonight. We've been preaching, shouted, and just tonight I just don't feel like you're too hungry for the word. You've just had too much already. But he loves you, and he's beautifying you and makes you just lovable, wonderful people. Most of you, or many of you, or all of you, are going back home prettier than what you came. Dressed you all up, fixed you up, and you're going back with a smile. And you're going back with a testimony. You're going back with a different look in your eye. Thank God I've been there with Jesus. He's done something for me. And you're going to be able to give out something more than what you were before. This little Tennessee girl over here, she's going back there and spread it all around in that there neighborhood, all the neighbors over there. He's going to tell them just what Jesus can make his kidneys and make everything else. And here the other night, where is she? I looked at this girl and I said, do you have your gallbladder removed? Oh, no. He said, you don't have one. Couldn't have a sign of a gallbladder. Never did have. And his husband said, well, I thought there was something missing about her. Well, then she had two or three more organs that was missing and had been removed. And just standing right there. The Lord give her a brand new gallbladder that she never had. Now, he can hook that all up. Can you figure that all out? All the ducts and everything that needs to be connected up here and there so it'll work. And he even put gall in it hanging down. Just a nice gallbladder hanging down. Now, he connected that all up so it started working immediately. I don't know how he does it, but this is the Christ that we're serving. He can do it. He knows how to do all things. He's a super mechanic. Thank God forever. And he just loves to do these things, you know. Usually when it gets time to pray for the sick, well, I always look up and see if he's coming, and he usually comes. And on that line that was up here the other morning, he was walking up and down, touching. I was watching him touch this one, touch that one, touch that one. I knew what was flowing when he touches. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't he wonderful? Some of you touched him as you walked down the aisle the other morning to come in. Come in the door, walked down over there and down the aisle, walked in, stood over there in front of me, looked at me and smiled. Oh, he's a friend, you know. He's very, very weird. He isn't so remorse. He's our friend. He's our elder brother. And he said, I've received all authority and all the power that is in heaven and in earth. And now we're going to work together. Praise God, and what's mine is yours.
Love him with all your heart. Oh, praise his wonderful name. Praise God. Well, we've got a minute or two here. Praise God. See what the Lord wants to do.
Hey, I stand for my people. Moses did not stand before Pharaoh until he had received the fire of God into his body. As he stood before the burning bush, God said to him, take off your shoes, for the ground whereon you stand is holy. It has my being here. It has my person in it. It has the fire of heaven in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Moses took off his sandals, and the fire from God came up through his body and imbued him with the power of heaven so that he could stand before Pharaoh and do what the thing that God has called him to do. When Joshua crossed the Jordan River and surrounded Jericho, the angel of God stood before him and said to him, Joshua, take off your shoes, for the ground whereon you stand is holy ground. Joshua did not conquer Jericho until he had received the fire of God into his body. When the Holy Spirit descended from heaven, tongues of fire set on all those that were present, to enable them to do what God had commissioned them, what God had called them to do. Yes, then, my people, today, my children, that fire that Moses received, the fire that Joshua received, the fire that descended on the day of Pentecost, the fire is at your disposal today if you will reach out and take it into your being. Receive of it, drink of it in. It is the body and the blood of the Son of God. It is within that frame that you can reach out and be imbued with a power from heaven to withstand the commission that God has called us to fulfill. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let's raise our hands and ask him to fill us afresh tonight. Give us that fresh anointing. Oh, yes, Lord. Pour into our hearts our being, Lord. Let the fire of God descend upon us tonight. Yes, Lord, let that fire descend. Give us a fresh vision tonight, Lord. A fresh vision tonight. The fire, the almighty fire of God. Let it envelop us, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, we need that fire. We need that fire. Work with us, Lord. Work with us, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, it's a God. And the love of Korea, Satala, the Kushia, the Hatahaya. Allah, the Holy of Satakini, Jisi, Eli. Everybody, use your prayer language. Let's pray. Come on. Dunda, the Kushia, the Hatahaya. Lay your hand on somebody's shoulder and keep on talking in your prayer language, amen. Yalla, Rachel, peace, Allah.
Onda la vacuria satasine de costa hai la vacuria. Ola la hasta hai la vacuria. Ola la hasta hai la vacuria. Ha 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 ha
Oh, Acostita Lover, Acostita Lover.
Keep on talking. Come on, talk some more. Let's play. Use our prayer language. Everybody, exercise. Oh, Golovaka, Sitalava, Hayan, Sia. Ondalavaka, Sitalava, Hayan. Om the love of Korea, the captain in the story. Pia Lava Haya. Yes, Lord, fill them with your fire tonight, Lord. Fill up everybody with your fire tonight, Lord. Let it burn within their bones, Lord. Oh, God, let's open the altar in heaven, Lord, and let the fire burn. Om the love of Hoya Lava Kasa Haya. Pia Lava Kasa Haya. Oh, the Bokosia Lavakasahaya Lavakosia Haya. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Oh, glory, 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 glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. And the love of course you give the highest. Oh, yes, Lord. For I want you to praise me. I want you to glorify me. I want you once again to lift your hands and praise my name. I love to hear you praise. I want you to praise. Holy the calm. And the holy love of the Sahaya. And the love of the Sahaya. And the love of the Sahaya. And the love of the Sahaya. I am a soul.
Praise God. If you need healing tonight, just put your hand on your part of your body that you need healing. He'll heal you tonight. Everybody that isn't doing that, will you raise your hand to him? Close your eyes, turn your face toward heaven, toward him. Begin to believe for these. Whatever these need in their bodies tonight, you're the miracle working Christ. Move in and out among the aisle tonight, Lord. You see these, Lord, that need a touch in their body. Recreate anything, Lord, that's needed to be there. Import transfusions, Lord. Open arteries that are plugged up. Straighten spines tonight. Heal stomach troubles. Colon trouble. There's several colon troubles here tonight. Lord, just now, are you ready? Bleeding. In Jesus' name, I ask you now, Lord, do it now, this very moment. Let your healing begin.
There's a pain, Willie. There's a colon straightened. There's a creation taking place right now.
There it is.
There's a transfusion. There's a spine that's straightening out wherever you are. My left over here. Spine straightened. There it comes. There. Finished. There's a heart that badly needs healing. Thank you for doing it now, Lord. Thank you for doing it. Make that heart perfect right now. And he's doing it. He's doing it. He's doing it. He's doing it.
There he is.
Oh, there's a stomach here that's all twisted up. Thank you, Lord, for healing that stomach right now. Thank you. There it comes.
There he is.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, there's several liver troubles tonight. Right now, Lord. We're believing you, Lord. Our faith is not in story. Heal those livers, Lord, right now. Heal him. Right now. Thank you for it. He's working there in those livers now, watching him heal. What's needed?
There's one.
He's healing another one, too, right there. There's another one, Chief. There's another one. There's three of them. Liver trouble.
There's two gallbladders out there that's been removed, gone. Lord, they need to put them in right now to their bodies. Create them right now, Lord. Jesus, next.
He's working. He's answering that prayer right now. There's one. He's working. There's the other one. There's two gallbladders. Created right there. Oh, there's a serious kidney infection out there. Thanks for healing it right now. Driving that infection out
now.
Jesus, next. And it's gone. Thank you for doing it, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now let's stand to our feet and give him another praise offering and thanksgiving for doing that tonight.
Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't he wonderful? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel it's like falling at his feet. Oh, Jesus, we thank you tonight. For our hearts, we thank you for your mercy extended to us. Oh, we're so thankful that
you come to meet our need, Lord, not to be a way far off Savior, but one, lo, I am with you always. You're here with us, Lord. You understand, you feel, you know our need. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you for meeting that need tonight. Oh, there's a diabetic here tonight that needs healing. Let's all believe right now for God to create. Part of the pancreas is already gone, eaten away. Breathe now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for creating it, Lord. Thank you for creating it. Oh, there you did it. Let's praise him some more for that. Oh. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hungry for God. If you're real hungry for him tonight, you should pull on him. Reach your hands up and pull on him and ask him to fill you tonight with that overflowing pump. Just that overflowing. Only a few of you here tonight that are really full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, just so much you can't walk. We don't care if you fall down. We don't care if you get drunk. You behave yourself, we know that. So just drink in right now. Drink in. Just drink in. Let him fill you. Stagger around if you want to. Even dance around if you want. We're in Arkansas.
Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up tonight, Lord. Fill them up, Lord. Pour it in with fire. Pour it in, Lord. Fill them up, Lord. Pour it in. Oh, be us such a deliverer.
He's really pouring in the Holy Spirit on a number of you. He's really filling. I see the golden oil just flowing in.
Pour it in, Lord. Just pour it in, Lord. Oh, pour it in. Pour it in, Lord. Pour it in. And love of all your love, a double portion, Lord, a double portion. Oh, that double portion. That double portion, Lord, that double portion, Lord. We pray, Lord, for that double portion. Pour it out upon your people. This is the last hour, Lord. Pour out a double portion upon them, Lord.
Lord, you have a portion, Lord, for this last hour, Lord, this last hour. Make supernatural people out of them, Lord.
Is that true? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Is the Jesus my Lord? Wonderful. I am not faint in the earth. What's recorded in God's word? Is the Jesus my Lord? Wonderful. Is the Jesus wonderful? Jesus, my Lord, wonderful. I am a faith. Is the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Is the Jesus, my Lord, wonderful?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.